I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting,
everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Praise ye the Lord of hosts, come and adore him. Bless his name and worship him in his holy shrine. Praise ye the Lord of hosts, come and adore him. Bless his name and worship him in his holy shrine. Sing, O ye heavens, on earth be joyful. Sing ye in praise of the Lord, for he cometh. Alleluia. Sing, O ye heavens, on earth be joyful. Sing ye in praise of the Lord, for he cometh. Alleluia.
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 Sing, O ye heavens, on earth be joyful. Sing ye in praise of the Lord, for he comes.
Thank you, men, for calling us to worship the Lord with that song. And thank you, my friend, for joining me today for the Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. I've been looking forward to spending time with you in the study of God's Word. And I remind you that the program you're listening to is produced and sponsored by Heralds of Hope. We're an international gospel media ministry reaching many areas of the world in 22 different languages. And all of this is made possible by the prayers and gifts of people just like you. You know, God's desire is that all peoples of the world will worship Him. And at Heralds of Hope, we have that same desire. So each week, we produce expository teaching from the Holy Scripture to share with listeners around the world. Just a few days ago, we received a report from Transworld Radio about our programs that air in the country of Nepal. Here's an encouraging testimony that was part of that report. We are from a remote part of Nepal and are frequent listeners to the Heralds of Hope programs. As housewives, we are busy with household tasks. However, after believing in God, our perspective shifted, and we got a vision to serve Him and do ministry among women. We are receiving 3 months of training and studying the Bible through various media. We don't miss an opportunity to learn from the radio program. Its fundamental teaching has been instrumental in our spiritual growth. The program teaches us from the Bible and discusses important spiritual issues. After understanding Christ, our life is fully transformed according to God's Word. As a result, we invite all of our unbelieving friends to tune in to the Heralds of Hope program. Praise God for that wonderful testimony. Did you catch the sequence of events in the lives of these women? First of all, they met Jesus by listening to our Bible teaching program on the radio. That was the internal change. But then there was an external change too. They began reaching out to other women and sharing with them how they too could have Christ living in them. And that, my friend, is the nature of the gospel. When you have it, you want to share it.
We've got good news to tell.
Glory, glory, hallelujah.
We've got good news to tell.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. We've got good news to tell. Everybody listen well. For this tiny baby who's born today is gonna change the world.
We've got good news.
Good news, we've got good news.
Yes, we've got good news.
Good news, we've got good news.
Well, they saw a star shining high in the sky, lighting up the heavens, what a glorious sight. And all at once there were angels all around, and the night was filled with a joyous sound.
We've got good news to tell.
Glory, glory, hallelujah.
We've got good news to tell.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. We've got good news to tell. Everybody listen well, for this tiny baby who's born today is gonna change the world.
We've got good news.
Good news, we've got good news.
Yes, we've got good news.
Good news, we've got good news.
So they came from the fields and the hills far away, just to see the baby asleep in the hay. They were filled with joy when they saw the tiny king, and they all went out with a song to sing.
We've got good news to tell.
Glory, glory, hallelujah.
We've got good news to tell.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. We've got good news to tell. Everybody listen well, for this tiny baby who's born today is gonna change the world.
We've got good news to tell.
Glory, glory, hallelujah.
We've got good news to tell.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. We've got good news to tell. Everybody listen well, for this tiny baby born today,
this tiny baby
will change the
Thank you, men. Now, stay tuned for our continuing study in the book of Colossians. I'm wondering how many of you like mysteries. I do. I've read or watched many episodes of Sherlock Holmes, and I admire his uncanny ability to unravel the most difficult cases. You know, people from ancient times have explored the mysteries of nature and even the mysteries of the spirit world. Because mankind has an insatiable curiosity to find the answers to our questions. Today, I'm thinking about something that we use regularly, something that would have been a mystery to the people of my grandparents' generation. They would not have been able for the life of them to figure out how this thing works. What I'm talking about is the Global Positioning System, or GPS, as we call it. This device allows us to know where we are and where we want to go. It works through a process called triangulation. There are numerous satellites that are continually circling our Earth at a very precise orbit. And these satellites send signals back to Earth, and our GPS units pick up those signals from 3 or 4 different satellites. And then they calculate the time it takes for that signal to arrive from each of those satellites. And then based on that information, the GPS can tell you where you are within just a few feet. And it happens in just a few seconds. You know, this technology was first developed by our government for the use of the military. One specialized form of GPS works in tandem with something called an RFID, or radio frequency identification tag. RFIDs can be as simple as a barcode that you see on the products in the grocery store. But the military found a way to combine GPS and RFID to form a device that can be placed inside a shipping container. The U.S. military then uses those GPS units to track those containers anywhere in the world. And so at any given time, the military knows exactly where that shipping container is. And those shipments are never lost. Their location is always known. In 1996, then President Bill Clinton signed a bill that made GPS what we call a dual-use technology. And as the saying goes, the rest is history. Today, you and I use GPS regularly, and we don't even think about how it works. In our continuing study of the book of Colossians, we've come to the end of chapter 1, verses 21 to 29. In verse 27 of this section, we're told that God has placed his very own GPS unit, if you will, inside of us. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The title of my teaching for today is The Mystery of Christ in You. So listen now as I read the text, Colossians chapter 1 and verses 21 to 29. Here is the Word of God. And you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ, for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. This portion of Scripture reveals the several processes by which you and I can understand the mystery of Christ in us and also be assured of its reality. The first process in the mystery of Christ in you is reconciliation. Now, this word reconciliation alerts us to the fact that there's been a separation, an estrangement, or a break in relationship. You see, when I'm walking in obedience to the Lord, and I'm walking in unity with my brother and sister in Christ, then there's no need for reconciliation. There's fellowship, there's connectedness, there's mutual encouragement. But Paul is reminding the Colossian believers and us that in the past, we were all in a continuing state of estrangement from God. And that estrangement, that alienation, was permanent unless a change took place. And granted, we cannot effect that reconciliation on our own, so God took the initiative in providing that reconciliation for us. Now, we must note that there are two parts to reconciliation. First, there's the objective part, and that is that Christ's death made it possible for all human beings to participate in this reconciliation. It's objective because it's a settled fact. He did it. And then the second part of reconciliation is subjective. That is, Christ's death made possible my personal reconciliation, and it made your reconciliation possible too. But only if you and I accept what he has provided. We must decide whether to accept or to reject the reconciliation God offers us in Christ. Further, not only were we estranged from God, but we were actively hostile toward him. That hostility, Paul says, began in our minds, in our thoughts. We have evil intentions, and then those intentions naturally come out in our actions, as Paul so graphically shows us in some other places, like Romans chapter 1 and verse 21 and following. Paul says in Romans 8, verse 7, that the carnal mind, or that is, the mind that is controlled by the flesh or the appetites, is hostile to God and to God's ways. So as those estranged from God, we weren't content just to ignore him. We chose things to deliberately provoke him. Now, as a teenager, I struggled with being estranged from my dad. I viewed him as the problem, and I told myself that if he would just change, then the problem would go away. But because he didn't change, I took a perverse kind of pleasure in doing things that irritated him. I tried to find ways to cause him pain. By God's grace, eventually I was able to see that I was a huge part of the problem. And then I was able to own my choices and put the relationship on the path to reconciliation. And I can tell you, it was a tremendous blessing to lay down that burden of hostility and to be free. Now, as you can see, Paul's description of what we were isn't pretty. And yet, in spite of all of our hostility, our pride, and all the baggage of our sin, Christ died for us. His death effected our reconciliation. And don't miss this. The word Paul uses here means to reconcile fully and completely. So then, when you and I, by faith, accept the sacrifice of Jesus as the only acceptable payment for our sin, we become fully reconciled to God. There are no halfway measures here. We are viewed by God as being completely holy and without blame. Hallelujah. Paul goes on to say that this reconciliation or rapprochement was made possible because Jesus was willing to go to the cross. Verse 22 says that we are reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. It's this sacrifice of his flesh and blood that secured our forgiveness and gives us standing before God. Listen to these words from Hebrews chapter 2 and verses 14 to 17. Inasmuch then, as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed, he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. Now listen, to make propitiation or atonement for the sins of the people. Notice with me again the refutation of Gnosticism. Paul says Jesus had a physical body, flesh and blood, and he willingly gave up his physical life so that we could be reconciled to the Father. No angels or other spirit beings are qualified to secure that reconciliation for you and me. And why did Jesus go through all the pain and sacrifice for our reconciliation? He did it so that he could present us to the Father. In other words, his death made it possible for us to be placed beside the Father or in his immediate presence. In order for us to be welcomed there, we had to be made holy, blameless, and above reproach. God, through Jesus, has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places, according to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6. Now you may be thinking, where's the mystery in this, Pastor? Well, the mystery is that the all-powerful, all-holy God would choose on his own initiative to reconcile us to himself through the cruel death of his only Son. Here's Romans 5, verses 6 to 8. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his love toward us in that, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That, my friend, is part of the mystery of Christ in you. The second process we want to look at then in understanding the mystery of Christ in us is sanctification. Before we examine this process, just indulge me for a moment. I know some pastor teachers say we shouldn't use big words like sanctification, because they're hard for people to understand. My response is this: just explain what you mean. That's part of your job. No matter what you call this process or how you approach the subject, you're going to need words to explain it. So why reject words that encapsulate the process in favor of words that take even more explanation and still may fall short of the goal? Furthermore, preaching and teaching should not only be spiritually stimulating, but it should also challenge the intellect. The root word of sanctification is sanctify. It means to set apart or to make holy. It's not specifically used in these verses, although a form of it is used in verse 22, and it's translated as our English word holy. Sanctification has much to do with how we live, how our faith affects our choices. Sanctification is the process by which we demonstrate that our faith in Jesus is genuine. Because of this, many people misunderstand it, and they equate it with trying to earn your salvation. You know, that's unfortunate, because the Scriptures give us numerous commands to be holy or to sanctify ourselves. That sanctification, that setting apart for holiness, begins in the heart, according to 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, but then it also demonstrates itself in outward actions. Listen, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, okay, that's internal, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct, that's external, in Christ may be ashamed. Now it's true, as I said earlier, that reconciliation through the blood of Jesus, in verse 20, makes us holy and unblameable in God's sight. That is something I call positional holiness. It gives us standing before the Father. In His eyes, we are now sinless. Because of what Jesus has done, we can come with confidence into the presence of the Father, according to Hebrews 4:16. Yet at the same time, our practical holiness, the choices you and I make every day, they are a journey. Our attempts to let Christ live His life through us are hindered by our desires and our choices. It's true that Christ is on the throne of my heart and life, but I still find myself becoming irritated with the aggressive driver on the highway. I still get frustrated by people who are habitually late for meetings or appointments. But those incidents are opportunities for me to grow in sanctification and practical holiness. They are opportunities for me to bring my practice into line with my position in Christ. You and I are indeed new creatures in Christ, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, and the trajectory of our life is different than it was before we were reconciled. But the sinful nature that you and I were born with is not automatically eradicated at conversion. In fact, later on in chapter 3 of this very letter, Paul tells us as followers of Christ to put those evil desires to death. Now, let's look more closely at verses 23 to 25 in exploring this process of sanctification. But that closer look at the process of sanctification will need to wait until next time, because we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next time to complete this study, The Mystery of Christ in You.
And can it be that I should gain an interest in my Savior's blood? Died He for me who caused His pain? For me who scorned His perfect love. Amazing love, how can it be that You, my God, would die for me? Amazing. die for me.
Now, if you'd like a copy of this complete teaching, it's available to you either in print or on an audio CD. Just ask for the teaching, The Mystery of Christ in You. You may request this teaching by using our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or mail your request to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or you can log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and you can listen to this teaching anytime that it's convenient for you. If you want to connect with us on social media, just search for Heralds of Hope and follow us on our various social media platforms. Now, once again, you may contact us by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292 and ask for your copy of the teaching, The Mystery of Christ in You. And if you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org, or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. Truly, it is God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and your generous financial support, that will enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now, friend, I hope you'll join me next week for The Voice of Hope as we continue our study on the mystery of Christ in you. And until we meet again, ponder this glorious future.
Face to face with Christ my Savior.